I'm Skip Airy, N2EI of Southern New Jersey. If you're interested in radio, AM, FM, shortwave, amateur radio, pirate broadcasting, and more, you won't want to miss the International Radio Report every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at ckut.ca.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the International Radio Report for January the 24th, 2021. My name is Sheldon, and I am here with Jill. And we invite you to stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we get you up to date on things going on in the world of radio. You can reach us by email, radioreport@yahoo.com. We are live streaming or archived at ckut.ca. We also have our Facebook group, International Radio Report, where we have Chris and Guillaume joining us this week. We thank you all for your comments that have been coming in via email. Some more came in this past week. If you have not been listening for the last couple of weeks, we've asked everyone that's out there, wherever you may be and however you are listening to us, to drop us an email. Let us know where you are, how long you've been listening, whether you're listening live or streaming or archived, what have you. You can just send a quick email to radioreport@yahoo.com. We thank everyone who's taken the time to do that. And lots of great comments from everybody. We really appreciate hearing from all of you out there. And some really surprised that some people have been with us for so long. That's what's really, really neat to see. And just scattered all over geographically. It's really been great.
Yeah, it's cool.
So we should get things rolling right away. There's been a lot going on in the last week. We want to remind you, though, and we'll keep reminding you every week coming up until the event, the 34th Annual Winter SWL Festival. This year, it is a two-day event, and of course, due to the COVID pandemic, it is a virtual Winterfest coming up this year. February 26th and 27th is the date. The various sessions will be held via the Zoom platform. If you would like to register for the event, you have to do so by the 15th of February. The organizers need to know how many people they're going to have so that they can get the Zoom platform set up for the correct number of people who intend to participate. So you can get all of the details on the schedule of events and everything else going on at SWLFEST, SWLFest.com. There is a small registration fee if you want to participate. It's just $5 US. It is only payable via PayPal, but you can use your credit card through PayPal if you don't have a PayPal account. So get it in on time. February the 15th is the deadline for that. And the schedule is sort of being revised as they go along. The final one should hopefully be issued shortly. And that also will be posted up on the webpage for the SWL Fest. So a lot of us are already registered. The two of us have registered already. And we look forward to seeing everybody there. We thank Richard Cuff and John Filiosi, the two organizers of the event, for pulling together the 34th annual event. Unfortunately, it's only on Zoom this year. We can't be in Philadelphia for the event this year. So we'll give you more details as they become available. Just keep in mind that important date of February the 15th. If you plan on participating, you have to get your registration in by that date.
So this is cool. I mean, I'm looking forward to all of the sessions and seeing how it maybe is going to spark that desire to be in person maybe next year.
Let's hope so. We'd all like to get back there again, and you've never been, so it would be great to get you down there and participate in everything that goes on down there.
So we have a little story here in Canada from with the CBC. This is by Christopher Reynolds of the Canadian Press. Oversight in transparency took center stage today on day one of a nearly three-week review of the CBC's broadcasting licenses as the broadcaster asked Canada's telecommunications regulator to renew licenses for its various English and French language services. CBC Chief Executive Catherine Tait told Canadian Radio, Television and Telecommunications Commission, the CRTC board, the CBC needs greater flexibility to accommodate the shift towards online viewing and listening. under the public broadcaster's application that Digital Dexterity would leave it free of detailed financial reporting obligations for online content, such as the CBC Gem streaming platform and CBC Listen app. If we do not move with our audiences, we risk becoming dinosaurs on a melting ice cap, Tate said in the virtual hearing Monday morning. She is asking the CRTC to renew its licenses for 5 years with slimmed down regulatory scrutiny and its digital content compared to its radio and television programs. CRTC Chairman Ian Scott questioned the CBC's push to avoid disclosing digital costs. I know you don't like expenditure-based requirements, Scott said, but from the Commission's perspective, with greater regulatory flexibility, there's a greater requirement for accountability and transparency from the corporation, and that has to come in some manner through reporting. The CBC has already faced pushback over its efforts to commercialize its online fare. Last month, marquee hosts and reporters joined about 500 current and former employees, including Peter Mansbridge and Allison Smith, in urging the public broadcaster to drop efforts to sell more branded content. In an open letter to the general public, they warned that the new marketing efforts called Tandem would erode the integrity of CBC journalism, saying that paid content that resembles news is insidious and will help advertisers trick Canadians. CBC management has insisted that editorial and advertising content would remain separate and stressed a critical need to generate revenue in response to heavy financial pressures. The Friends of Canadian Broadcasting is recommending the CBC go a few steps further by following its radio service and making its television and online offerings ad-free. They have also been very, very dodgy when it comes to transparency, Daniel Bernhard, the group's executive director, said of CBC management. It's just an insane idea that the Canadian public and our regulator have no business scrutinizing activities of the public broadcaster in the digital domain. Bernhard also called for more investment in local news as ad dollars fall away from traditional media and into the coffers of Google and Facebook, hollowing out regional journalism. I got to say that I totally agree with the fact that I don't think the CBC should hide any of its revenues of any of its platforms. We have the right to know, and I think even the public has a right to know. We need to know each advertising dollar, where it goes and what it does. It is a public broadcaster. We are paying for it with our taxes. I mean, there's a need to transparency and there's a need to know what's happening. And the fact that it's not totally equal, you know, the private broadcasters versus the CBC are not totally in the same league because the CBC gets so much money from the government. I think that also is something that we need to look at and think about because it's kind of not very fair. And they, you know, have more and more ads. I noticed that the CBC is like ad crazy now. It's as worse as the other private broadcasters. And they are getting tons of money.
They attempted a while back, I guess it's a couple of years now, they wanted to put radio advertising. And because it being a national network, they had to look for national advertisers. Like you weren't going to have ads for local businesses in local cities. They wanted to find, you know, big advertisers that had big money to put into nationwide broadcasting. And it didn't work. A, the audience is not as large as it might be for other outlets. So they kind of backed off of that. So they've kind of left radio, you know, to itself, and they don't do the advertising on it that they do on commercial radio, for example. But television, as you said, is a whole different story. And they do have to be accountable, you know. Yes. And with them going wanting to go more digital stuff, you know, it's harder to get a handle on some of this digital stuff. You know, just who's listening, how effective is it, you know, where are the people listening, when are they listening, all of that sort of thing. So, yeah, I can understand them wanting to know more about this whole process. And if the CBC is trying to not give that information out, you know, there's a reason for that too. So,
yep.
So yeah, this is going to go on for quite a while. It's a 3-week hearing that's going on. It is available actually online. If you search around, you can actually listen in on the hearings, which is could be quite interesting if that sort of thing is of interest to you. We'll see. It'll be quite a while before the decisions come out. Usually these hearings take quite a while,
yeah.
And then there's a review process and what have you. So we'll have more news on it later on, I'm sure.
Yeah, and with the fact that we have, you know, more and more problems with how our money is being spent, the fact that they don't want to disclose that information of the online content and the money they make, you know, it's like, what, you have something to hide?
Exactly. Yeah, I think the rules will come down that, sorry, guys, you know, we need to see this stuff.
Yep.
I think all of us deserve, all Canadians deserve to see where that money's being spent.
Yep.
So we move next across the border, and lots of things going on in the U.S. this week, obviously. I'm sure you, if in case you didn't know, there's a new president. But some really interesting radio-related things have been going on with this transition of power. The first one is just an absolutely amazing story. I've never seen or heard of anything like this in the past, and, you know, I guess it's just a sign of the times. The story comes from Paul McLean of Radio World. And I was just shocked when I was reading this. I couldn't believe what I was reading. The headline, FCC warning, do not use ham radio or CBs to plan crimes. The Federal Communications Commission has issued an unusual weekend enforcement warning that boils down to this. Don't use ham radio, CBs, FRS walkie-talkies, or other personal radio services to plan crimes. This comes as federal and local government and law enforcement officials around the country report concerns over possible terrorist attacks from disgruntled Trump supporters enraged by the outcome of the election and stoked by the recent attack on the Capitol. The Enforcement Bureau has become aware of discussions on social media platforms suggesting that certain radio services regulated by the commission may be an alternative to social media platforms for groups to communicate and coordinate future activities. The Bureau recognizes that these services can be used for a wide range of permitted purposes, including speech that is protected under the First Amendment of the Constitution, it said. But it continued in bold font. Amateur and personal radio services, however, may not be used to facilitate crimes. The warning applies to ham radio operators and users of services like the Citizens Band, or CB, Family Radio Service, FRS walkie-talkies, and the General Mobile Radio Service, GMRS. Specifically, amateur licensees are reminded that they are prohibited from transmitting, quote, communications intended to facilitate a criminal act, unquote, as well as, quote, messages encoded for the purpose of obscuring their meaning, unquote. Users in the personal radio services like CB are prohibited from using them, quote, in connection with any activity that is against federal, state, or local law.
So what am I supposed to do with my new CB radio now?
Well, I haven't seen anything like this from the CRTC yet, so
yeah.
Here in Canada. But, you know, we saw pictures of some of the demonstrations, and we saw people, some of these demonstrators with radios, walkie-talkies, yep. strapped yep. to them. Many of them, these little inexpensive Baofeng two-way transmitting walkie-talkies,
yeah.
which apparently many of them are open to transmit on basically any frequency.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They transmit almost anywhere.
So, you know, never mind just don't use them for planning crimes within the amateur radio band or the CB bands, but just don't use them, period, outside the bands, which is something else I guess they should have mentioned.
Yep.
You know, that these radios can be used to communicate with all, you know, for any purpose on pretty much any frequency. Never mind the fact that that equipment is not supposed to be coming into the United States, but that's a whole other thing. So, pretty dramatic statement. And, you know, I kind of wonder how this started. Like, where, you know, somebody came to somebody and said, hey, you know, we better issue something like this to what? To protect themselves? To say, well, you know, we told you not to do this or what. I'm not really sure. I just found this absolutely fascinating.
One thing for sure, if they have to put a statement out like this one, somebody somewhere tipped them off maybe to something or saying, well, you know, maybe there's more use of radio than we think for crimes or all sorts of bad things going on out there.
Yeah, it's a pretty dramatic statement, but I guess, you know, a sign of the times, and especially with all this equipment that's floating around out there now that's so easily accessible.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Anyways, neat story, though.
Yeah.
I'm Thomas Witherspoon of Asheville, North Carolina, and you're tuned to the International Radio Report, 30 minutes of news about radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
A story that is interesting because things are going faster than we actually thought. Biden cleans the House VOA after revolt over Trump changes. This is by Matthew Lee, AP diplomatic writer, AP News via Mike Cooper and Glenn Hauser's World of Radio. The Biden administration has moved quickly to remove a number of senior officials aligned with former President Donald Trump from the Voice of America and the agency that oversees all U.S.-funded international broadcasting. The actions addressed fears that the U.S. Agency for Global Media was being turned into a pro-Trump propaganda outlet. The agency announced Thursday that VOA's director and his deputy had been removed from their positions and that the head of the Office of Cuba Broadcasting had resigned. The moves come just a day after President Joe Biden was sworn in and demanded the resignation of Trump's hand-picked CEO of USAGM, Michael Pack. The agency said in a statement that VOA director Robert Riley had been fired just weeks after having taken the job. He had been harshly criticized just last week for demoting a VOA White House correspondent who tried to ask former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo a question after a town hall event. Two agency officials familiar with the matter said Riley and his deputy, Elizabeth Robbins, were escorted from VOA's headquarters by security guards. The officials were not authorized to discuss personnel matters and spoke on condition of anonymity. In addition, Jeffrey Shapiro, who was just recently appointed to run Cuba-focused broadcasters Radio and TV Marti, resigned at the request of the new administration, they said. Pack, who appointed all three of those terminated on Thursday, resigned just hours after Biden was inaugurated. Soon after his resignation, the Biden White House announced that a veteran VOA journalist, Kelu Chow, would head USAGM on an interim basis. Pack created a furor when he took over the agency last year and fired the boards of all the outlets under his control, along with the leadership of the individual broadcast networks. The actions were criticized as threatening the broadcaster's prized editorial independence. The moves raised fears that Pack, a conservative filmmaker and former associate of Trump's one-time political strategist Steve Bannon, intended to turn venerable U.S. media outlets into pro-Trump propaganda machines. His further actions did little to ease those concerns. Indeed, just on Tuesday, he appointed new conservative members to the boards of Radio Free Asia, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, and the Middle East broadcasting networks. Biden had been expected to make major changes to the agency's structure and management, and PAC's early departure signaled that those would be coming sooner rather than later. Though many presidential appointees resign when a new administration comes in, PAC was not required to do so. His three-year position was created by Congress and was not limited by the length of a particular administration. VOA was founded during World War II, and its congressional charter requires it to present independent news and information to international audiences. So this is interesting. We were talking last week, I think, and a couple of weeks back, we had a few stories of what's happening with the VOA, and we were thinking, you know, maybe that's not a priority right now. And it's funny to see that it's actually going much faster than we thought and all the changes coming.
Yeah, I was surprised at how quickly this happened as well. You know, the same day, the guy resigning, you know, within a couple of hours. You know, the VOA is the external voice of the United States to the rest of the world. And I guess the content is really important. It's like it's basically like a foreign ambassador, you know, putting out the voice of the United States to the rest of the world. So I guess they figured they needed to get a handle on this. And, you know, this happens. People always look at patronage appointments. You put, you know, people get put into positions. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of criticism of these people now that have been put into place as well. You know, it just kind of comes with the job, I guess. Yeah. But, you know, for people who monitor the Voice of America, it'll be interesting to see what the comments are as to, has the content changed? Is it slanted one way or the other? You know, it's obviously going to reflect. It's not supposed to, but I don't see how it can't reflect a certain image of you know, who's in power at the time.
Absolutely.
You know, not to be expected that there'll be major changes, but I think something will show up that will be a little bit different, maybe a little toned back. I don't know. I haven't listened really to the Voice of America for a long time, so it's hard to say, you know, just what's been going on. They don't target North America, really. It's you know, they don't even, I know in the past they haven't even recognized correspondents coming from Americans. It's like they don't want to deal with Americans. They want to deal with everybody outside of the United States.
Absolutely.
But whether that will change as well, I don't know. But something to watch over the next little while to see if there are any really noticeable changes over the broadcasts of Voice of America and these other services that you mentioned as well.
Yeah, I've been listening to the French service that I receive quite easily in the afternoon here, and had not really seen that much of a change in its programming yet. I'm sure it would have come over time, but I think it's good news to see that they're trying to make things better for the VOA and its agencies.
Yep, we'll keep monitoring, see what happens, and I guess there'll be a lot of watchdogs out there keeping an ear tuned to it to just see if there are any major changes taking place. This is a little bit of an interesting story. Again, Paul McLean from Radio World was looking at companies that ran the most ads, or what they call radio spots, on U.S. radio in 2020. And if you tune across the bands, particularly the medium wave band, and you hear a lot of these companies, I'm sure, in national advertising that's done on radio. So the story goes on to say Uncle Sam and Procter & Gamble were the two most frequent advertisers on U.S. radio in 2020. Media Monitors issued rankings of the top advertisers for the year as measured by a number of spots they ran. It said the federal government ran about 5.9 million radio spots in measured markets, including ads promoting the census, while Procter & Gamble ran about 5.3 million ads. Those two organizations also held the top spots last year, but some new ones came in this time around. Progressive Insurance doubled its number of instances, airing about 2.7 million spots in 2020. And that raised them up from number 9 to number 3. Several new brands entered the top 10, including Babbel, which entered the top 100 at number 5. In September, the company reported its app had been downloaded more than 10 million times. Allstate jumped to number 6 from number 57, while Quicken Loans entered at number 8, up from number 18. Home Depot slipped in its rankings to number 3 after being first last year. Lowe's climbed to number 4, and companies shooting their way up the ranks from last year included T-Mobile and Allstate. Falling out of the top 10 from last year's listing are Live Nation Worldwide, which presumably reflects the loss of events and concerts during the pandemic, as well as Indeed, Incorporated, and McDonald's. So the top 10, just to run them down quickly, is Progressive, which is the Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, Geico, which is owned by Berkshire Hathaway, Home Depot, Lowe's, Babbel, which is owned by Lesson 9 GmbH, Allstate, the U.S. Census Bureau, Quicken Loans, Indeed, which is an employment services class of business, and Macy's Department Stores, which was a little surprising.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can recall ads hearing these through the headphones at
Absolutely.
night as I'm tuning across the bands, and not only on radio, but they do a lot of TV advertising for some of these companies, Geico and Progressive in particular. You certainly see a lot of those on TV. But man, imagine the amount of money put into the
Incredible.
advertising.
Incredible.
Just huge amounts of money being invested in radio advertising. And they say people don't listen to radio.
Yep. It seems that maybe there's more interest than we think.
I think so.
What's happening with the sun? Well, the sun came back to life a little bit this week with some sunspots. So we had several days without sunspots at the beginning of the year, two sunspots right now, and possibly one that might show up as we're seeing something at the edge of the solar disk. So activity is a little bit higher. Solar flux hovering around 78 to 80. KNX stayed quiet most of the time. What could affect us is a small coronal hole that's actually creating some solar wind flowing from the hole that would actually reach the Earth January the 25th or 26th. So there could be a little bit of unsettled conditions, but overall, pretty nice conditions. And well, just turn on that radio. And talking about radio, quick little announcement about the Receiva database. The Receiva database that we're supposed to shut down January the 31st and make your Wi-Fi internet radios stop working. That has been pushed to April the 30th. So we have a few more months before the end of the Receiva database and the end of your radios that use that aggregator. So a few months left.
All right, we will wrap things up as usual with upcoming ham radio contests. We have a few really interesting ones coming up this next weekend. The CQ Worldwide 160 meter band contest from CQ Magazine. That is 2200 Zulu January 29th to 2200 Zulu January the 31st. That is CQ Worldwide, so that will cover the 1810 to 2000 kilohertz frequency range. The Réseau des Amateurs Français, Union Française des Radio Amateurs, REF contest, CW, 0600 Zulu January 30th to 1800 Zulu January 31st. It's 80 through 10 meters and it's CW only. The Royal Belgian Amateur Radio Union is sponsoring the UBA DX contest. It's a single sideband contest, 1300 Zulu January 30th to 1300 Zulu January 31st. That is 80 through 10 meters. And this is an interesting one. I've never heard of this one before. It's the Winter Field Day, sponsored by the Winter Field Day Association, which is a dedicated group of hams who believe that emergency communications in a winter environment is just as important as the preparations and practice done each summer for the regular field day event. So this one runs 1900 Zulu January 30th to 1900 Zulu January the 31st. It's all of the amateur bands, including VHF and UHF, except the work bands and 60 meters. And it's any mode. So it's a
Oh,
pretty
wow.
much wide open contest.
Yep.
So you can check all of these out. We'll put links to all of them on our Facebook page. And we hope some of you have some fun either participating in them as hams or just listening in as shortwave listeners.
So we're out of time.
We are. It goes by so quickly. We thank you all for tuning in. We'll do it again next Sunday. Another 30 minutes of programming about radio for you. Check us out on Facebook. International Radio Report is the Facebook page. And drop us an email, radioreport@yahoo.com. Let us know you're listening. Thanks for tuning in. Talk to you again next Sunday with the next edition of the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Bye-bye.
Other than that, I mean, what's going on? What do you say?
Buenas tardes.
And we'll be back.
Miss your favorite show? Not a problem. Go to www.ckut.ca and follow the link to CKUT's easy-to-use archives. Instructions are on the page. 2 months' worth of archives are stored in mono and a half a month's worth in stereo.
Pleasant good afternoon to you, Montreal.
If you're having trouble, please email sys@ckut.ca. That's sys@ckut.ca.
Oh, yeah! I want to be your motivator.
This message is intended for all Quebecers. We must take extreme measures to curb the pandemic. Only essential services remain open. Gatherings are prohibited. It's forbidden to leave your home between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. These efforts aim to protect our healthcare workers, seniors, and loved ones. Let's comply with the lockdown and curfew to lower the risk of contracting COVID-19, because our health is important. For more information, visit quebec.ca/confinement. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.